your presence, and thank you for your promise that you are with us always. We thank you for this place to come and freely worship you. Thank you for providing these doors to open to us. Help us to take your love and your word and spread it, not just in this building, but outside as we go into the week. As we have impact groups this week, Lord, help us to learn and grow in fellowship with each other so that we can go into the world and spread the gospel. Pray for Pastor Scott this morning that you would be with him, fill him with your spirit as he brings your word, and help our prosperity, Lord, to be a successful mission for you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You may be seated.
Never mind me as I spill my water all over myself. That was a first. Oh, boy. Put that there. All right. Let me try that again. That's why my wife doesn't take me anywhere. Great to be with everyone today. Last week, well, a couple weeks ago when we had Dr. Stephen Patrick come and speak to us, and his theme was prosperity equals mission success. And that got me thinking. A couple weeks ago, I had a title going, and I thought, well, I'm going to focus on mission success. I mean, that's what I really want to do. And because we're going to, in the next few weeks, we are going to talk about Wellspring Community Church, the month of October, of Wellspring Community Church's mission. Let's read this all together. Do we have that in front of us? Wellspring Community Church's mission is to lead people to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. Yeah, that's the mission. That's what we're going to work on. And in order to have mission success, I'm going to explain these for the next few weeks. We're going to go through what lead, change, and grow is. And so I'm pretty excited about that. But little Danny, he comes running out of children's Sunday school one Sunday morning and says, Dad, you wouldn't believe what they taught us about Moses today. Dad says, well, tell me. And he says, well, Moses was with the Israelites. They went out to Egypt. They were in Egypt, and they were trying to leave Egypt, but Moses, Pharaoh and his army started to chase them. So Moses, he gets on his walkie-talkie, and he calls in the Israeli Air Force. And the Israeli Air Force attacks Pharaoh and the army. And he says, while they're doing that, the Israeli Navy comes and builds a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea. And the Israelites, Moses and Israelites, the Jews, were able to cross the Red Sea and get away from Moses' army. Now, this time, the dad's like, what in the world are they teaching my son? He says, Danny, is that what they taught you in Sunday school? He says, is that what they taught you in Sunday school? And little Danny said, no, Dad, but if I told you the truth, you wouldn't believe it. Now, that's funny, but you know something about that whole story is that little children have faith. But as when you get older, it's like, you know, there's a little bit of skepticism there. And so today, I want to show you God's mission. You know, I want to show you God's mission, that God's mission is our mission, Wellspring Community Church mission. And so the first I need to show you, we're going to talk about mission success, and we're going to talk about mission failure in the Bible. We're going to see those pictures. But my question is, will you be a skeptic or a believer? That's the question, because I'm going to tell you, what I'm about to share with you today is very challenging. First, let's start off with the bad thing. How about that? Everybody worth getting the worst stuff over first? Okay, let's talk about mission failure. I'm going to give you a picture. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15 gives us a picture of mission failure. Here it is. Now, this is, remember, I didn't write this. This is the Apostle John, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, taking direct words from God, and he pens the book. He pens the book, the Revelation, the book of Revelation. And so, the next book that we study, when we finish John, the Lord is just leading me to dive into go to Revelation next. So we're going to get deeper into this. So here's what it says. He's Revelation 20, 12 through 15. He says this. Now this is John talking about what he saw. He says, "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened up, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." I'm going to read that last one again. "Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Now, pretty challenging picture here. We have God's throne, white throne, Jesus sitting on the throne. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and he's on the throne. And the Bible teaches that he will judge people. Daniel said it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, 7, 9. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. He described this scene way before Jesus' time in the Old Testament. Jesus himself said in John 5, chapter 5, that he describes this scene as this resurrection of judgment, and he's the one sitting on the throne judging people. And then the scripture that says, I saw the dead, both great and small. Isaiah says the people that are lined up before this judgment throne, he describes it as myriads and myriads of people. Just think of how many people that have lived on this face of the earth. Billions. And a lot of these people are going to be standing before that throne. All the unbelievers who ever lived. And there are somebodies, it says, the great and the small. There's somebodies and there are nobodies. See, God has no partiality according to Romans chapter 2. He has no partiality. So it doesn't make no difference if you're a big deal or a little deal. And Revelation 21:8 says this. He explains who these people are and who they are. He says, let's read this together. You ready? You want to try this? "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all what? Liars." I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that God hates in the Bible, he hates a liar. I mean, he likes them all, but I mean, he hates them all, but he hates lying. "Their place," the reason why, because the devil, the Satan, is the father of all lies. And it was his lie that deceived us all in the beginning. "Their place will be in this fiery lake, burning in sulfur. This is the second death." Now, let's explain it. I'm just going to explain a few of those things. First of all, the cowardly, those are people who fell away from their faith when they were challenged and opposed. You know, recently some people were asked to stand up to see if they were Christians or not. And those ones were shot when they said they were. Also, it talks about those are the people, if you look in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to go back and read the story of the parable of the seed and the sower, those are also the people, the cowardly are the ones who started out and said, "I believed," and they came to church, and then they all of a sudden walked away, and they never came back, and they said, "Oh, I believe," but life's cares and the trials of life and everything overtook them, and their faith was not genuine. And then the myriads and myriads of people, I think the most of the people that are going to stand there is the ones who are unbelieving. These people are the people who just refuse to acknowledge. Countless number of people have refused and to believe and to acknowledge that God exists, that Jesus was his son. They just flat out refuse it. And then finally, we're left with the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral. I could go into those whole things. The practice of magic arts. I got to tell you, stay away from anything that has to do with the occult. The idolaters and all liars. You know, I mean, listen. All of us have sinned, the Bible says. All of us have fallen short. Okay, I understand that. But these are the people who never turned their life over to the Lord.
never believed in God, never changed their ways. The Bible says they will never enter the heavenly city. See, God has kept a perfect, accurate, comprehensive. He's kept a perfect, accurate, comprehensive record of every person's life. See, he's God. He can do that. That's why he talks about books. The books are opened. And so God's justice demands payment for everyone's sin. Let me tell you something. All sinners in hell will be utterly separated from God and all that his good that comes from his goodness. See, today, the reason why we enjoy so much stuff, that's because it's called God's common grace. His common grace flows upon the wicked as same as the believer. God's sunshine, his rain, his things that we have, when that is taken away, it's not pretty. It's ugly. It's actually hell. And everyone, listen to what it says. Everyone there in hell will suffer intolerable, indescribable misery and torment. That's what it says. The fair part will be in the lake that burns with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. My friends, that is not a pretty place to be. There's much more in the Bible that talks about this, and I'm just hitting the kind of the high spots, or should I say the low spots. That, my friend, is ending up in hell is mission failure, not mission success. And one thing I want to clear up, you know that God does not send people to hell. Oh, it says there that he judges them. He judges them, Scott. He's going to send. No, you know what? Every person, Scripture says, everybody has to give an account for their life. And the majority of these people have been able to make it according to the Bible, according to the whole counsel of God, have known there's a God, have seen it in the heavens, knows it in their heart because they have a conscience, what's right and what's wrong. God speaks to our hearts, and they have this decision to believe or not to believe. At the end of the day, God didn't send a person to hell. They made the choice not to believe. They made a choice. Hey, I was right there. I was right there. I was right there. Everyone who ends up in hell had a choice to believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ, or not. The Bible says in Hebrews, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Now, I've been aware of God for a long time, even in high school and even today. You know, there's that one rock song out there, I'm on a highway to hell. Friends, I'm going to tell you, the hell has a super highway going to it. That's what the Bible says. Broad is the way to destruction. There's only a stairway to heaven. There's only a stairway. But there's a superhighway going to hell. So I'm telling you today that people need to choose the bread of life, Jesus, or I know this ain't supposed to be funny, but are there toast? That's why I say, hell no! And heaven what? Yes. Hell no, heaven yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm done with mission failure because I don't really like to dwell on that. But when we get into Revelation, because it talks about it in several chapters, we're going to have to get into it deeper. Matter of fact, there's a couple places in John where we get in the later part of John, we'll be talking about it again. But it's real. I believe it's real. I don't know if you believe this or not. I believe it's real. I believe it is real. And I believe this is real. Let's talk about mission success. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and old earth had disappeared. And the sea was gone. Now think about this. If the sea is no more, I was just reading this the other day. If there's no more sea, that means there's no more water. There's no more rain. It's going to be an interesting place. It's going to be totally different. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. And he will live with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And all these things are gone forever.
And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. That's what I said. I like to focus on that. I am making everything new. And he said to me, write these things down. This is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it's finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I give freely from the springs of the water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God and they will be my children. When you just highlight the parts there, it says that God is glorified. Jesus is king on the throne. God and Jesus will dwell with their people. Pain, suffering, and mourning and death are eliminated forever. Hallelujah. Everything will be made new. And there will be no night because God will be our light and we shall reign with him forever. I like to highlight verse 7 here. And all who are victorious will inherit. Listen to this. You will inherit all these blessings. And he says, I will be their God and they will be my children. I got to tell you, I'd like to have more time to explain more about this heaven because I'm telling you something, it's more than you can even imagine or think. That's what's waiting for those who choose the Lamb of God, who are thirsty for eternal life. I wish I had more time. I love to preach this message at funerals and talk about all the new stuff and what God has for us. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, verse 7, that's the eternal happy, happy, happy. As we live in the glorious presence of God. That's mission success. So what do you do? There's a picture of hell and a picture of heaven. What do you believe? Are you a skeptic or a believer? See, I believe mission success is not only heaven, but it's also here today. I believe the Bible teaches that we can experience this success now. Matter of fact, I believe Jesus teaches, and Matt's going to teach this in John chapter 10 here and the next time he preaches, is that life is better with Jesus right now. You don't have to wait to heaven to live the good life. Matter of fact, we sing this song today about being alive. You know what? That song's about being alive spiritually. We're alive and breathing, right? I mean, everybody knows that. Hello, I think I am anyway. But when you become alive spiritually to God and you become born again, you are really alive. You see things differently. You think about things differently. Matter of fact, you love God. And when that love of God starts pouring into you, the thing that really makes a difference is you start to love other people. That's what's amazing because I didn't always love everybody. I was a nice guy and everything, but dude, I didn't really care where you spent eternity. Life is better with Jesus right now. So, what's the difference between mission success and mission failure for people? Take a guess. Well, I know everybody's going to say Jesus, right? Yeah, that's true. But I think it's you as well. I think it's us. It's Jesus and you. That's the difference between mission success and mission failure. And I want to put this out to you today. We encounter people every day that we could influence towards mission success for their lives. We do. And why is it so important? Well, here it is, Jude. Let's read this together, 123. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Well, if there's not anything more important to run into a building burning, and that's what it really means. It really means that you run into it's like a fireman, somebody who's experienced this, Bob, maybe Dwayne, experienced fireman running into a burning house and actually grabbing somebody and physically bringing them out of the fire. Now, is that important? Bob has saved people's life that way before. That's pretty important. Ask that person. I was rescued. I was snatched from the flames of fire, and I didn't even know it. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I really wasn't paying attention. I look back on it now and thinking, oh, man, thank God those people took the time to come to my house for that weekend and to talk to me about Jesus. And they didn't beat me over the head with the Bible, but what they said, God used and impacted my life. And they literally snatched me from the flames of the fire. That's the ultimate mission of the church, you guys. The ultimate mission of the church is to snatch people from the flames of the fire. It is. We're going to get into it. But he calls every follower of Jesus Christ, every disciple, to be in a church fulfilling that mission of snatching people from the fire. Now, I know some people think church is about just fellowship and community. I love fellowship and community. I like the food we have at fellowship and community. I love impact groups, but it's not about that, just about that. Some people think it's about spiritual growth. Well, I just want to get more knowledge about Jesus. I want to add more information to my mind. You know, that's good stuff, but guess what? It's not about that either. It's not all about that. I want to worship. This is it. Sundays are only for glorifying God. No. That's good. And then finally, all the social justice issues. A lot of people feel that that's the main thing, that mission is taking care of the homeless or the poor or going to prisons. I was just with people the other day who go to prisons, and I was talking to a guy who's his ministry, and that's all he's talking about, prisons and all this kind of stuff. And these are all great things, but mission success flows out of all of these. It flows through them and out of them. They're part of it, but they're not the only thing. Sometimes we get so one-tracked to these areas, one-track mind to these areas. We said it today. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Bethany read it. And I want to just take a few moments to walk through that with you. Matthew 18, verses 16 through 18. We had to start here because there's something I want to show you. Here we go. Matthew 28, verse 16. Would you guys read this with me? You ready? Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given authority in heaven and on earth." You know what's amazing? If you go back a few pages before that, you know, the angels ran to the tomb. The angels saw the women ran back to the tomb. The women that were with the disciples, the women believers. And they go back to the tomb. And it was the angels who told the ladies, go tell the men to go to Galilee. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. What do you think the angels told the women to go tell the men? That what? Yeah, well, that's part of it. I think the other ability was the angels realized the women would follow the directions the men wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God knows. He knows. He wanted to make sure the men got the directions right. He wanted to make sure the ladies kept after him to go there. Now, in that scripture, what we don't know, what don't we know in that scripture? Let's think about this for a second. What do we don't know? We don't know two things. We don't know the exact time. And we don't know what usually goes with time. The place. We don't know the time or place here. What do we know? Just looking at that. Yeah. But what else? The big, just don't, you know, just kind of look at it broad. What do we know? They didn't know where the time, what time to be there, and they didn't know where the place to be, but we do know what? Huh? They got there. We don't know what time, where it was, but guess what we do know? They showed up. They made it. Isn't that the most important thing? They made it. They actually got there. As a matter of fact, what scholars believe is that it wasn't just the 11. It says in there, it says, go tell the 11. But scholars believe at that time there was 500 people that were called disciples of Christ. You had the 11 apostles, and then you had the 11 at that time. One was gone. But they believe that there was 500 disciples. And all of them went. If you read through that and you follow that whole history, they believe at that time there was at least 500 that possibly went. Now, that made it there. Interesting when you hear that, think about the number. But what I want to say is the first thing in mission success, it starts with availability. It does start with availability. These guys showed up. They were available. Now, I know we're all getting ready to watch the game today. And how many people believe Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football? Our Chicago people aren't here today, but we all believe Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. He might be the best quarterback that's been around for a long time. But here's the deal. If Aaron doesn't get on the plane and he doesn't go to San Francisco, what happens? Yeah, Packers will lose. That's right. They not only lose, but he adds no value to the team. If he doesn't get there, he doesn't. Even if he got there, excuse me, and he was hurt, he could actually add some value to the team. But if he doesn't make it there, if he's not available, he has no value to the team. You know, you can have all the spiritual gifts. You can have faith. You can read the Bible. You can come to church every Sunday. But if you don't get a part, if you don't get on the team, if you don't get to be part of the mission, if you're not available for Jesus' mission, you add no value to the team. I don't know. I know here's two things, the reason why. Most people, when they become followers of Jesus Christ, they don't understand God's mission. I didn't. I'm like, I got Jesus. Okay, I'm over here and I'm over there and I'm doing all these things. I didn't know what the mission was. Finally, somebody said, dude, Scott, you know, settle down. If you guys think I'm excitable now, you should have seen me back then. I was a little over the top. So, but here's the challenge. Many Christians do know the mission, and they're involved in church, but the problem is they're so lightly involved that they're only involved into what it only serves their purposes, their own desires. Oh, went to church this Sunday. Check that off. I feel good the rest of the week. You know, see, Jesus wants everybody to be on the mission and on the team. I've said this before. You were created for this mission. And the beautiful thing about this mission is that it's not like all of a sudden you got to become a Bible thumper and that's all you do. Listen, the mission is lived out as you live out life. Wherever I go, I am on mission. Doesn't mean I'm a Bible thumper. It means that I look at every person that I come in contact with. Whether I'm at the coffee shop or at the gym or... I ain't been at the gym for a while, but anyway. Eric's been trying to get me to come back. No matter where you go, you're on mission. Because you know God loves you. And I know that I've been snatched from the fire. And then I know that there are all these other people out here that don't know God's love and don't know where they're headed. And I decided to join the mission when I found out the mission. And I realized that that was the purpose I was created for. And I used my talents, my gifts, my mouth, whatever it is, my time, my money, everything in order to complete that mission. You all were created for that mission. You just don't know it yet. So here we go. Matthew, back to the scriptures. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going on to the mountain where Jesus had told them. And when they had saw him, they worshipped him. But this is the thing that's been messing with me for a long time. But some of them doubted. Now, it's just hard to believe. And I had to ask forgiveness. Say, Lord, I've been too hard on these people. Because I'm thinking, are you crazy? You've seen the resurrection. You saw him crucified. You see him standing in front of you right now. And you doubt? Have you ever prayed that if I was just alive back there and saw Jesus, I would be like super Christian? I'd never have another problem in the world? I've been kind of hard on those folks. And I said, you know, I got to this week and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I know their weaknesses. I know what it's like to be weak. I know what it's like to be confused. I know what it's to have doubt and fears. How should I point my finger at those people and say, what are you? Where's your faith? That's tough. So I've taken it easy on those people thinking, wow. You know, when God calls you, it's not always like, Woo, the door is open. You know it all. You know, when God called them to go to that mountain, you know, they were leaving behind families and jobs and incomes, and they didn't know what was going to happen to their lives. And they had legitimate reason to doubt and to fear. So I'm trying to be a little more easy on those people now. But really, what's really cool is Jesus helped. Because this is why he said, listen to me, but some of them doubted. This is why Jesus said this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given what? Where? Wow. I mean, if you're struggling and then you find out that Jesus, he says, I have all this authority. Mission success is established on the total, unlimited authority of Jesus Christ. Over and over in the Bible, we see where it's predicted in the Old Testament. Jesus says it over and over, and it's repeated in the Revelation, in the last book, that Jesus has all power over heaven and authority. He created it all. Why is that important? Listen, if I tell you we're going to go out and do something, a big mission for God, what do you, first thing people are going to say to me is, dude, are you crazy? You know? Then they're going to say, well, okay, do we got any money? Do we got the resources? Can Scott motivate people to get involved? I mean, no, I listen, if you're looking at me, I don't have anything. But if you're looking at Jesus, the success of a great mission is determined by the leader's ability and his resources. Right? If they believe, and if you believe, what the Bible says, Jesus owns it all. He has all power. And he's going to put everything that he has behind your mission. And that helps. Because do you know what their mission was? Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the only one who can empower and ensure. But do you understand what he's asking them to do? These are a few hundred people from Galilee. Galilee was the worst area, the weakest area of the nation of Israel. And his mission, their mission, look, let's turn it. Here it is. He says, go, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He's telling them to go to all the nations of the known nations of the world. And make two disciples. And like, hey, Jesus, you know, you're not exactly, it's not really cool to go on talking about you. You know, they killed you. They stoned Stephen. They're killing other people. It's not really that cool to be doing that. And Jesus has given them a mission, a big mission to go out and complete. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am always with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See how I read stuff backwards? That's why you got to watch me. Mission success depends upon people's willingness to obey Jesus' great commission and to make disciples. See, he says, go and make disciples. What that means, listen, if you don't have... For some of those people, they had a lot to give up to go and make disciples. For some of those, they had, you know, they were going to go overseas. For some of those people, they had to go back, and they had a lot of stuff back. You know, they had, let's just face it, their peers and their jobs and everything that they did around them. You know, that was a big deal to come back and say you were a follower of Jesus Christ, because the establishment wasn't really friendly towards that. I mean, there was a lot at stake here. But Jesus doesn't just make a suggestion to those guys. Hey, you know, if you got time, don't go out of your way or anything, but if you have a moment, you know, if you can just put aside a couple minutes of your day, that's not what he's saying. Jesus isn't making suggestions. He gave us a commandment. He gave them a commandment. That's why I say mission success depends on people's willingness. See, he doesn't force you. He says a command, and then he's waiting to see if you'll obey it. It's your willingness to obey Jesus' great commission to make disciples. I thought to myself, how many of us as parents, and I'm a little easier now that I'm a grandparent,
I'd still be a little challenging, tough. When we ask our kids to do something, do we like to hear the word no, or maybe later, or how do we like it when a child ignores you or doesn't even listen to you? Huh? Everybody cool with that? I don't think Jesus is real cool when he's given this command and the majority of the church. Now, I'll give the ones who don't know yet because they're willing to be trained, but the ones who do know and they're not in the game, they're not on the team, they're not working towards mission success, I don't think that's good. Jesus has called us to reach out to people because of love. See, what we do is we reach out to people outside our church and wherever we go, and the whole idea is we're going to reach out to them in love. We're going to bring them in. We're going to build them up. We're going to train them, and then the whole idea is to repeat the process. And if you do just simple multiplication, if you use that multiplication, I get one, that person gets one, we go through that whole process of multiplication, the world should have been reached by now. Now, you know, Hartford surely shouldn't be that tough. What, there's only 14,000 people. But he didn't give us the option to do that. He gave us the command. Now, I'm looking at everybody here today, and please forgive me. I mean, I don't mean this personally, you know. But I look at everybody in this room. I know myself. I look at this room. I don't think anybody here is going to make any great advancements in technology or society or in the financial world. You know, is anybody going to be a philanthropist and just go out and give, like a who's the guy from Microsoft? Bill Gates. He's a big philanthropist. You know that. He gives away a lot of money. I can say that for him. He gives away a lot of money. I don't think anybody here is going to, you know, make it to that level. I don't think any of us will make some big psychological change to our world. We won't come up with the answers to peace or, I mean, the questions that are really troubling people. I don't think that. I mean, I don't, you know, somebody, some of the young people might do that. I hope you guys do that. The young kids might be able to do that, you know. But in order to change our world, you can make a huge impact. You can. I believe so. I believe you can make a huge impact in our world by following Jesus' simple instructions to make disciples. I don't know about you, but it changed my world. Those people changed my world. Was your world changed? They impacted my world. That's important to me. And I've had the ability and the privilege and to help that Jesus used me to impact other people's world. So if we each did that, followed that simple plan, we got an ability to change the world. We complain about so much, but we have the ability. Listen, when I prayed to receive Christ, it changed my thinking about everything. I'm not perfect, but I no longer see the world I used to see it. And the thoughts that I had about issues of life and death and poor and different race and all those things changed. We're going to talk about all that stuff in the coming weeks. But God wants us to share the life-changing story of Jesus Christ with those around us who've never heard it. It's really a simple story. You can draw it out on a napkin. The story of Jesus. I can show you how to do that. Matter of fact, we're going to teach you how to do some of those things. Jesus has to be shared. Jesus saves. He saves people from hell. He saves people to live spiritually and give them new meanings to live for. And the more lives that are changed, the bigger impact for our families and for our communities and for our country and our world will ever be. We got to understand that. We got to believe that. I believe that. Are you a skeptic or a believer? Finally, getting back to Matthew 19:20, he says this. He goes, teach them to make disciples. I'm just going to read the last part. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, like this. Be sure of this. See, he tells them at the beginning he has all authority in heaven and earth. Then he says at the end, be sure of this. I am going to be with you always, even to the end. See, what
What better promises to say that I have all the power and I'm going to be with you forever? See, when you receive Jesus Christ, the Bible's all full of these promises that he will never leave you. Take courage. Take courage in your life and all the challenges that you're going. Take courage because he is with you. He's never farther than from you. Just closing your eyes and say, Jesus, talk to me. Help me. Give me your presence, Lord. No matter what it is you're going through, he is that close to you. And his strength and his power is there. Mission Success has the promise of Jesus' constant pressure, presence, and power in our lives as we commit to his strategy to change the world. See, I believe that God has led me to this church. I believe that God has led you to this church. We're here for a reason. So why don't we get together and be a team so that we can work together towards mission success, that we can make an impact for every part of Hartford and beyond. Ordinary people. We're just plain old folks. We're ordinary people who live ordinary lives, but who have an extraordinary God. Imagine what 100 ordinary people filled with the power and presence of Jesus could do in Hartford. See that? I don't know about you, but that's what I think about. I'm so honored and excited to be on your team. I am. I'm ready to do life with you. I'm ready to be on mission with you. I'm ready together to reach people so that, and then in that process, get to know each other, to do life together, and to love each other, and to grow together, and see other people snatched from the fire of hell and saved. I've had the pleasure of being saved myself. I've had the pleasure of being a part of seeing others saved. I tell you, it's nothing like it. I care about everyone that's in this room. You say, dude, all I can tell you is I pray for our church. I pray for you a lot of times. I can't always have a personal relationship with everyone, but I want you to know I pray for our church. I pray for our people here. We pray on Tuesdays. We pray on Sunday mornings before the church starts. I pray by myself. I pray with my wife. We pray for one another. And that's because I care. And the reason why I care is because I care so much, I'm willing to talk to you about hell. Because you know what? It's really not that comfortable talking to people about hell. It's not. And I care so much about you that I have to ask you a question. I have to ask you to evaluate yourself, because so many times when we're sitting in here today, what we're doing is, I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting on that side of the thing and somebody's preaching, I'm always running a self-evaluation. I don't know about, maybe I'm the weird one here, I don't know. No, don't answer that question. Do you look weird or what? No, don't answer that question. But usually when everybody's sitting here, hopefully you're doing a self-evaluation, because if you're doing an evaluation on somebody else, because I've been there and done that, that's really not the best place for you to be. It's a self-evaluation. So let me ask you to be honest here. Honest with God. Honest with yourself. Have you ever committed your life fully to Jesus Christ? Have you asked for forgiveness of your sins? Have you asked Jesus to take the leadership of your life? I mean, these are challenging questions, and God wants to know. You've got to ask these questions. You've got to be able to answer those questions. If you've never, ever given your life to Christ, if you never committed your life fully to Jesus, if you never asked for forgiveness, then you need to do that. I love you so much, I care about you so much, that I want you to experience Mrs. Success, heaven. But more important, as well as I want you to experience mission success on this earth, spiritually alive, with abundant life. If you've never done that today, Paul gave us this clear thing in Romans 10:9. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. This is not rocket science. See, right here. See, this is the choice. You'll never stand before God at the throne and say, Scott Moore didn't tell me. Because if I did not share this with you, your blood would be on my hands according to the scripture. And trust me, I have a few people's blood on my hands. I don't like that. People who died and I never shared. I was afraid. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm telling you the truth today. Are you a skeptic or a believer? Are you going to put your faith in Jesus Christ? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be what? Saved. Saved from the eternity separated from God in hell. Saved to really live life spiritually and take part in the greatest mission there ever was, Jesus' commission, great commission, leading others to finding Christ. So what's holding you back? Anything holding you back from receiving Jesus? If not, I say do it now. Take a few moments. Here it is. Simple prayer. God, you're awesome. Remember, God's the only one that's awesome. And I'm not. Be honest with yourself. I've offended you many times. Please forgive me. Jesus, come into my life and restore me. Restart me. Please give me the faith and the courage to take my eyes off the challenges I face today because you are greater and bigger than all my challenges. And I surrender my life and all my challenges to you. Thank you for inviting me to draw near to you. I want to join you in mission success. You're an awesome God. Amen. Just take a couple minutes. If you want to do that prayer today, pray that prayer today. Just pray it right to God right now. Lord, I pray for folks that are here. You know, I've heard so many stories, Lord, over the years that people who just were at the edge of their seat, they were ready to make that commitment, and they, in fear or in embarrassment or confusion or doubt, they slid back in their seat and never made the commitment. Lord, I pray that these folks here, every one of them, Lord, would have the courage and just the simple faith to say, I believe, and I confess you with my mouth, Jesus, that you are Lord. Lord, I pray that you would, if these people have, if someone has here today, if many have here today, Lord, that you would show them things that they never saw before or experienced, and this would let them know that you are now with them, that you are their God, and that they are their children. I ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, so for all you folks who say that you're a follower of Christ, who say that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. And I want you to be honest with God and yourself. Are you committed to making an impact to change Hartford and the world around you for Christ? I admit, I had no idea what that was. Nobody ever told me the mission. Listen, the next three Sundays, next four Sundays, we're going to go through this mission in more detail of what that is. Now I'm thinking that church attendance might be a little light next week. I hope not. Because I try to make it exciting. If you're here, if you were baptized in the picnic, make sure you come next Sunday because we're going to be passing out your photo of you being baptized. And Michelle did a great job of picking out the photo, so you know she only got the embarrassing ones of me. So me and Dave, but anyway, we're going to pass those out next week. And but if you're here today, we're going to be discussing this over the next. And if you need to recommit your life to Jesus' great mission, I want you to just say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure. I know I've been putting myself. You know, the great way if you here's the way you need to tell that if you've been, you need to recommit your life to the mission of Christ. Just look at your checkbook and your calendar. If everything is revolved around you, if everything in your calendar and your checkbook is revolved around you, those are the two places. You say, how do I evaluate myself? Go look. Go look at your checkbook and your calendar. If all your time is spent around you, me, and you don't see anything there for God, then you got to recommit. You need to recommit. You need to restart. You need to set a new agenda.
Let's take a moment for you today here that are followers and disciples of Christ. Maybe you need to recommit your life as well. Let's just take a few seconds. You know, to be honest with God and yourself. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today, and especially those who call upon you as Lord and Savior, who've known you and been walking with you for a while, Lord. I know how it is to get off track. I know what it is like, Lord, to get busy on so many other things. I know what it's like to be self-focused, Lord. I've been there. I've done that. Thank you for all the times that you've allowed me to recommit my life and my focus to you. Life is busy. Life is challenging. I thank you for the ones who've committed. And the many who have recommitted their lives to being on your task and your great commission of achieving mission success for those around us. I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, here we go. We got the mission statement. Here we go. Let's close with that one more time. Wellspring Community Church's mission is to lead people to life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do. We are followers of Jesus Christ in Hartford. And together, we can make a difference. There's no greater team that I'd want to be on. There's no mission worth in this life. There's no other mission in this world worth giving my life and our lives and our time and our resources to the mission success of Jesus Christ. I can tell you that right now. Worship team, if you'll come forward, hey, we got a short movie we'd like for you guys to watch.